Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Is it music or noise? The answer may not be as clear-cut as you think. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today we look at noise, how to define it, how it affects us, and what to do about it. And Darcy James argues secret society will make a big noise when this contemporary big band troops into our studio for a live performance. We begin, though, with this small noise. Composer Raphael Mestel has often used the sounds of rocks, water, twigs in his music. Works like this piece, Jacob's Ladder, help blur the boundaries between music and noise. For most of us, though, we know when something strikes us as noise, and we're usually not happy about it. So today we ask, what impact does noise have on our city, our health, and our lives? We'll hear from this composer shortly, but my first guest is the environmental psychologist Arlene Bronsaft. She is chair of the Noise Committee of the Mayor's Council on the Environment of New York City. Arlene, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The city has grown louder.
Yes.
Noise is the number one complaint on the city's 311 line. And as if that weren't disturbing enough, you have written, and I'll quote here, laboratory studies have found that noise and aggression go hand in hand. Does this mean our city is becoming a more aggressive place?
No, but it also means that people will lash out at individuals who are making noise. Actually, the number one complaint may not be the transit noise or the aircraft noise. It's really neighbor noise. And people who have neighbors upstairs that are making noise, when they approach them at first, it may be in a very nice way. But after not getting a positive response and lessening of the din, the individuals start getting into arguments. And they do shout and scream at each other, and they behave aggressively towards each other. That is very, very common.
And is that because of, in a sense, it's because of noise. I see that sort of indirectly, but more directly, that's just,
respect.
People, being rude to each other.
We forget that one of the reasons the city has become noisier is people have become less respectful. Our forefathers were very smart. They wrote a Bill of Rights, and people used this Bill of Rights to give them the right to make noise. Actually, our forefathers should have written a Bill of Responsibilities, because you have to be responsible, and you have to be concerned about other people. So your right to make loud sounds stop at my ears. And that's really what we don't have. We don't have this concern for other people's rights. And if we had that, we'd have a quieter city.
Now, when you say noise, and especially neighbor noise, I mean, we haven't called for comments or phone calls yet from our listeners, and yet they're already coming in on the website, and they're coming in as complaints about neighbor noise, and it's usually televisions and record players, stereo systems.
And it's lack of proper covering on the floor so that people walk over their wooden floors with high heels instead of having proper coverings, which they're supposed to have.
That's leases. Why many leases say you have to have carpets. And there's also the, what is it called, the right to a quiet enjoyment?
The right to the quiet enjoyment of your apartment, provided it's reasonable. If somebody's grandchild visits once in 8 months and you hear a little sound because the grandchild's running across the floor, that would be unreasonable. Mm-hmm. But what people are talking about are neighbors that do not cover their floors, that play their music too loudly, that scream and shout, slam their doors. And this really is a number one complaint not covered by the noise code, but by leases, which landlords are supposed to uphold and which many of them do not.
And what about the city council? Don't they have a responsibility?
I think they do. The city council did pass the noise code because in this city, laws are passed by the city council, but I must say that Mayor Bloomberg did push very hard for the noise code. The leases are, I think, regulated by the state, and I really think the city should step in, look at leases, and see what the city can do to specifically spell out what does reasonable enjoyment of your apartment mean. And I think they should tighten up on the regulations concerning sound.
Okay, now, it's we all know that you live in New York, people live on top of each other, literally, and it is a noisy place. As an environmental psychologist, let me ask you to put aside your chair of the noise committee hat for the moment. As an environmental psychologist, what is the impact of noise, whether loud or soft, but in either case, intrusive, on our health?
It is. It affects our health. The studies have shown that noise has an adverse effect, particularly on cardiovascular disorders. In other words, blood pressure goes up and your heart gets affected. Of course, this would have to be continuous. It would have to be a person who's subjected to the noise for a longer period of time. Then add to the noise the fact that you can't do anything about it. When a person can't resolve an issue, the stress gets greater. So remember, it's indirect. It's through stress. And noise creates stress, and stress can break down parts of the body. But even if it's not cardiovascular, just think of the anxiety, the unhappiness. And the word that I'd like to use is diminished quality of life. Maybe you haven't yet shown the damage to the heart. Maybe yet the ulcers haven't formed. But if you're living a diminished quality of life, that means you're not living a healthy life. And that's what the noise sufferers are not doing. They're not living a healthy life.
We're speaking with Arlene Bronzaff, the environmental psychologist, who is chair of the Noise Committee of the Mayor's Council on the Environment of New York City. And joining me now is Raphael Mostel, composer, who lectures at Columbia's Graduate School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation. Rafe, what one person's noise can be another person's music, and vice versa. So we're talking about a judgment call here, aren't we?
Sometimes it's not a judgment call. It's there is some noise which is just purely noise. When you're talking about machinery, for example, it's not providing anyone any benefit other than the work product of the machine. And to be honest, when you're hearing noise from sources like that, it's just a waste of energy. Because the energy used to produce that noise is energy which is not producing something useful. It's in most cases a flaw of the machine. And especially in an environment, I'll get to answer your question in a minute, but I just had to add to what Arlene was saying before. We're surrounded in the urban environment by so many machines, particularly the HVAC systems that have come online in the last 10, 20 years that just run 24/7, just go continuously, and it's ratcheted up the background noise, the noise code. We met first talking about the changes of the noise code. That's how the two of us got to meet each other. I was concerned with being across the street from NYU, and the old noise code had this flaw in it that each machine was measured separately, so that the Department of Environmental Protection would come, and you'd point to this
they'd
forest
test.
Of things.
And they test each
and
machine
they'd say,
separately.
Which machine? And you know, so there was no way that people would get violations for one machine. Mm. But when you have 100 of them going at the same time, and especially when you have a concentration in one part of the city, this is something we're fighting the Department of Environmental Protection about, actually, is to measure not just one building, but if you have the law is now, the code is now by the owner of the single building, but if you have the same owner owning many buildings in the same area, having all these machines, the machines should be measured together.
Arlene, the city's noise code is over 30 years old, right?
No, we revised it 2 years ago.
Okay, and what, I mean, at the time that the 30-year-ago code
right.
came into effect, it was considered pretty good for its
very
day.
Very good. New York City was in the forefront. We were ahead of the rest of the country.
So what happened? Why did it get to the point where you needed to go in there and do a whole revamping of it?
Because, Raphael pointed out very correctly, we would have to measure one unit at a time. That no longer exists. Construction noise now has much better control under the new code. The new code not only allows for measurements where you actually have a decibel meter and you go in and do readings, but they also have the audible standard in some of it. So I would urge your listeners, to go to the New York City Department of Environmental Protection where they can see the code and know what their rights are. And that, I think, is very important. People don't know their rights, and that is now up there, and everybody could look at the code, and everyone can go to their own council person and say, help me, I have a noise problem, and the code is there to help me.
We're talking about noise, what it is, what you can do about it, and both of my guests are part of this panel at Columbia University tonight at 6:30. It's free to the public. It's called Noise, Design, Health, and the Urban Soundscape at the Wood Auditorium at Avery Hall on the Columbia University campus. Arlene, you've written, I'm often asked whether or not one person's music is another person's noise. There are many, many instances, as we said already, where people's complaint is not just noise in general, it's music.
Yes.
How do you answer that question?
I think the person listening to music in his or her apartment should just listen to the music in his or her apartment. That is music. But once it goes into a neighbor's apartment where the neighbor is either sleeping, watching television, or reading, and it intrudes on the neighbor's activity, then it is no longer music, it's noise. People have the right to listen to music, and even if they listen to it very loud, Pete Townsend can speak to this better than I as to what the Who music did to his ears. So the people can listen to
it
very
loud. Dramatic hearing loss, you mean?
Definite hearing loss. And you should be cautious if you're listening to music loudly. But one thing you should not do is impose your sound on someone else. And that's when it becomes noise.
Rafe, same question to you. I mean, Arlene, you know.
This goes way back, actually. I was just thinking of Johann Sebastian Bach, his second Brandenburg Concerto, I think it's the second one. It has a traffic jam. He's describing the horns that the coachmen are playing to, you know, manipulate the traffic. It's this complex passage in the work. But he's already describing you know, basic noise.
Baroque urban, noise.
Baroque noise, yes. So it's got a very long and honored pedigree. But this word soundscape that we're using in the title of the meeting comes from R. Mary Schaeffer, who
Canadian wrote, composer and
long an activist in this field. And he's come up with some very major useful concepts in this. And one is sound mark, which I was mentioning to you before.
What's a sound mark?
A sound mark is something that identifies a place, the way a trademark identifies a product. And I guess the classic example we were talking about before is the Cockney people are all born under the
right
area of the bells.
If you are born within the sound of the bells of the Church of St. Mary Le Bow in central London, you are considered genuine Cockney.
And so for other people, maybe that the bells would be a noise. But for them, that's a sound mark for that area.
But what would the sound mark of New York City be?
You ask that to anybody and they'll probably have a laugh. There is so much noise. It comes down to the question of the commons, you know, that it's always a very good idea to have an open space for this goes back to the beginning of the founding of this country. Boston had the commons, and it was very good for everybody to graze their cows on the public lawn, except it was in nobody's interests to it was in each person's interest to graze them as much as possible, but it was in no one's interest for everybody to overgraze the place. So there had to be some sort of balance, as Arlene was talking about. There has to be
to be reasonable,
a marriage of responsibility with the liberty.
Could I just add to that? In terms of New Yorkers, they're really quite reasonable. They would like to see the subways quieter. I'm sure they'd like less din on the streets. It's when they come home, when they go into their apartments, into their houses, and they close those doors, that's when they really expect some quiet. Mm-hmm. So they're almost willing to deal with the stresses of the noises of the city. And by the way, some of the sounds of the city are exciting. No one's going to complain about Yankee Stadium fans screaming when the Yankees are winning. Or the
Unless
ball,
you're a Met fan who lives across the street
or the Mets
there.
Screen. Do you understand?
And also the traffic on 6th Avenue. I'm sorry.
But we're reasonable. Macy's Day Parade. We expect the shouts. New Yorkers are very tolerant people, but when they close their doors, that's when they would like some relief, and that's what I'd like to address.
Okay, well, we're going to give you a chance to address that when we ask for listener comments and calls. Soundcheck listeners, how has noise affected you? What have you done or tried to do about it? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or leave a comment on the soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org, where a number of comments have already come in. And as often is the case, our producer Joel Myers in the control room monitoring the comments. Joel, what's going on?
Well, John, I'm noticing a theme that's running through a lot of the comments posted already. That theme can be summed up in one word: help. Liz from Manhattan mentions a restaurant in her neighborhood, West Harlem, that has a permit for live outdoor music. Liz writes, "The noise and music can be heard all over the neighborhood from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. on Sunday nights. I've contacted the community board, 311, in the 30th precinct to no avail. My questions are, can I see the permit the community board has issued? Does a music permit allow an establishment to exceed the noise code? And how can I make this stop?"
Arlene?
Yes, I would go to my council person or even have Liz call me. I'll say she could call me at the Council on the Environment, 212-788-7900. I feel obligated as a representative of the mayor to give this number out. But that city council person should definitely address that issue.
Well, the question of whether a permit for music allows you to exceed the
I don't think so. I think that person has to track it down, but I don't think the individual has to. That's what the city council person is for, and that's who I would contact.
Can I jump in here just with an added thought that most of these laws and the arrangement of everything is done by people who are very eye-based. And there's a huge difference.
I as in me,
no,
or I as in the two eyes in the front of my face?
Visual
okay.
Eyes. The difference between the eyes and the ears is enormous because with the eyes, you can close your you have eyelids. You don't have ear lids. If you don't want to see something, you can just close your eyes and ignore it. For your ears, that's literally impossible. You even hear when you're asleep.
Here's a funny comment. Frank from Newark, New Jersey. All right, send your complaints to Frank, not to me. I'm just reading what he wrote here. Watch out for Brazilian neighbors. They are the loudest of them all, and they don't care what you think. This can ruin a relationship and drive you to suicide. This is no lie. I live in a Brazilian community in Newark, New Jersey. That's our executive producer, Gisele Regatau, who is Brazilian, actually suggested I read this. So good sport, Gisele, but
have I come about ethnic differences?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. By the way, I have spoken to people who are of one ethnicity where it could be loud, and loud is all right, but their neighbors are of a different ethnicity, and then I do try to work it out. I have personally gone to people's homes and try to reconcile the difficulties.
So what about the idea of eventually acclimatizing to noise? I mean, we did a series of these programs back in May, and we had a listener call up and say she lived near the BQE, and after the first couple of nights, she grew to like the sound of the traffic going by, this kind of shushing thing that she got acclimatized to.
Well, no, you're talking about adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Adaptation generally is at a price, and people have to understand that. If it's just a small hum and of traffic, and it's not that loud, then that small hum you probably can adapt to. You're not going to adapt to loud planes overhead. And if you do adapt, it's always at a price. Just think of what you do. You have to get your body to deal with that sound. If your body is dealing with it, it's working. And that means there's stress on the system. That's why people tell me when they go
away.
Even
when you're asleep.
That's right. When they go to a quiet environment, they're all of a sudden getting up because it's quiet and their home environment is not that. Bodies adapting to the very loud sounds that are disruptive can cause damage in the long run.
So there's actually a straight line correlation of the level of noise, whether you're aware of it or not, and your damage to your heart.
Blood pressure and things
yeah.
like that. There are so many different tacks to take on this topic. What we're going to do, the tack we'll take, is to have a quick break. And when we return, lots of listener comments and calls. So stay with us. You're listening to Soundcheck.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Look how many people refer to actual types of music as noise. Avant-garde classical, free jazz, even hip-hop, When we discuss any of these on Soundcheck, there's always someone writing in to say it's just noise.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
So up next, more on the effects of urban noise, and then we'll test the limits of noise in our Soundcheck studio with an 18-piece orchestra that mixes big band jazz with contemporary classical music. Join us for a live performance from Darcy James Argue's Secret Society coming up later on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're back talking about noise and what to do about it. Composer David Maslanka used to stand on the platform of the A train at the 200th Street station, which is a holding area for unused subway cars, and he would listen to what he described as a symphony of air compressors. Well, he turned those noises into music in this Wind Quintet No. 1, but for many of us, that symphony would be more like cacophony. Let us know about the noises that have affected you and what you've done about it. You can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org or join us on the line at 212-433-WNYC. My guests are Arlene Bronzaff, she's chair of the Mayor's Noise Committee, and Raphael Mostel is composer and lecturer at Columbia's Graduate School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation. There are, as you might expect, lots of people eager to talk about noise. Let's start with Sabrina here in New York. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, how are you?
I understand that you have a complaint about the subway.
Yeah.
No symphony for you, huh?
Well, maybe at a distance it might be. When you're standing on the subway platform, mine is usually Union Square.
Everyone's laughing here, Sabrina, because before the show went on the air, we were all talking about the loudest places in New York, and I think Union Square is number one with a bullet on that hit parade.
Well, there you go. And Madam Chairperson was talking about responsibility and also feeling out of control and not raising the stress level. I feel like I can deal with my neighbors because I can, as she said, speak with them, negotiate with them, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're standing in the subway, and mm-hmm. the only recourse you have is to put your fingers in your ears. This is every single time. It is inhuman, and...
It's good you're bringing this up, Sabrina, because this is one of Arlene's, sort of areas of expertise as well. Arlene, you've worked with the transit system.
Yes, I actually just finished a contract with the Transit Authority identifying the areas of noise and what they could do about it. They've responded pretty well so far. They have now formed a committee in which they're going to look at all their noise problems over buses, trains, platforms... And they're actually going to meet with people and let people know what they're planning to do. That's a good step to get the Transit Authority to acknowledge that, yes, they have a problem. And I did research on the effects of train noise on children's learning and found that children exposed to train noise were a year behind in reading compared to children on the quiet side of the building. So this is
when was the study done?
Over 30 years ago.
Thirty years ago.
They're
a little slow on the ball
we did do some things in transit, and let this listener know that that is an area that I'm very concerned about. And I'm constantly trying to negotiate with the Transit Authority and show them by quieting the system, they're protecting the system. So in the long run, they're saving money.
There's a basic problem of the Union Square station. It was engineered on a curve.
So hence the moving platforms and stuff.
Uh-huh. They no longer use the moving platforms, but it increases the possibility of noise tremendously.
Mike from Washington Heights. Mike, what's your big noise complaint?
The big noise complaint for me in this neighborhood, besides the subways, is cars with incredible stereo systems, tremendous bass. They come drive around, the windows open, blaring it, thinking they're doing a service to the neighborhood. In one case, I even saw a car drive by with its trunk open, so its stereo speakers would be unhindered. And sometimes you even have people in parts of the neighborhood on the street, hanging out on the street, or the fixing car, and the car radio is going quite loud.
I have to say that's not just Washington Heights. I hear that from every time we've done anything on noise. But
yeah. And one more point: sometimes it's even like 2 o'clock in the morning. A car will drive by and wake me up.
Arlene,
I really think that neighbors have to get together and do something. I'm going to have to say that the council person in that area, the community board, has to be responsive. I know I live in the community, and when there's a noise situation, we do get together and we work together. And here is one where a council member and the community board, which happens to have a committee which deals with environmental issues, and this person just can't be alone. You have to get together with other people and make a statement. And that's the way to
but
try to remedy
it. But then how do you enforce
it?
That? I mean, do you put a
you
cop
know what?
On the
well,
every
let me
corner?
Tell you what they did do when Bratton was a commissioner. What they used to do is select certain neighborhoods, and that neighborhood would be staked out one night, and then they would select another neighborhood. So the people didn't know which neighborhood was going to be staked out. And I thought Bratton had done an excellent job on that. And, you know, we could speak to Commissioner Kelly about that as well. Take one neighborhood, do it once, go to another one, and when you don't know whether your neighborhood's going to be the one that's going to be staked out for the night, then you might not do it.
You might think twice before opening that trunk and letting those speakers sound. Let me quickly jump into the control room with Joel Meyer in a virtual sort of way to see what kind of comments are coming in on the SoundCheck page. Joel?
John, there are dozens of comments on the SoundCheck page, and here are just a few of the things that people are mentioning. Many people talking about subway noise, jackhammers, block parties with permits, a lyric from a Paul Simon song, couples arguing upstairs, and sounds that are part of religious ceremonies. So far, John, no angry Brazilians have responded to Frank from Newark, New Jersey quite yet. But two comments I wanted to point out to you both. Adam writes, I can hear my downstairs neighbor snoring. Do I have a complaint? Can I take her to court? This would be ridiculous, of course. Folks need to understand that living in such proximity to others means giving up the quiet of the countryside. Now, Derek from Brooklyn responds, this is the reason I'll have to leave New York City someday. I've lived in an apartment where the landlord has been doing construction for 8 months straight.
Wow. All right. Neville Chesters is joining us on the line from Long Island. Neville, I understand you are a former road manager for Jimi Hendrix and The Who. Is that right?
That's correct. I was actually I called in the other day. Read the Monkees,
right?
Hendrix, remember?
Yeah, and so you have had some experience with loud noises in your career.
About 10 years of sitting at about 120, 130 dB with Townsend, with Jimmy, with Cream. I'm very fortunate. I've retained almost perfect hearing, but I'm also very respectful about noise. I play noise in the car loud, but as soon as I come into a neighborhood, I turn it right down. So I like peace and quiet, and I respect people's, I just wish other people thought about it. I think it's kind of ignorant.
This is actually a really important point, because what the previous caller was talking about, the driver with the loudspeakers pointed out the back of the trunk, some people use music as a marking device. It's not the music itself.
Well, you were talking
obviously
about the sound mark before. It
exactly.
can be a sound mark for somebody's territory, their neighborhood.
Exactly. It's like an animal function. This is my area. As opposed to appreciating the music, which is a completely different function, which is what you're describing.
So it's marking that doesn't quite smell so bad, but it certainly worse.
It gets down to respect.
Right.
And that is a key word.
Okay. There are so many other comments and calls, and I'm going to suggest to people that you check out the comments page at the SoundCheck page at WNYC.org, or check out the free panel tonight that both of my guests are part of. It's called Noise, Design, Health, and the Urban Soundscape in the Wood Auditorium at Avery Hall on the Columbia University campus. It's free tonight at 6:30. Arlene Bronzaft, environmental psychologist, is chair of the Noise Committee of the Mayor's Council on the Environment. And Raphael Mostel, the composer, lectures at the Columbia Grad School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation. To the two of you, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
And coming up next, we'll pack 18 musicians into the Soundcheck studio and see how much noise they'll make. Don't know if there'll be enough room left for me, but should be fun. Darcy James argues Secret Society plays live next. And tune in tomorrow as two key ingredients of songwriting go head-to-head in a Soundcheck smackdown between lyrics and music. Tomorrow.